Your love is everlasting, it's an everlasting love. Your mercy is as new as every rising of the sun. And your loving kindness is better than life. Grace is all sufficient, it's an all sufficient grace. Your power and your glory are forever on display. And your loving kindness is better than life. Oh, it's better. You are fair, and nothing in this world could ever measure or compare to your loving kindness is better than life. All your ways are just, O Lord, you're just in all your ways, and I will lift my hands, O Lord, with gratitude and praise. For your loving kindness is better than life. Oh, it's better. Oh, better than life. Oh, so much better. Jesus, your loving kindness is better than life. It's better than life. Oh, it's better. Oh, better than life. Oh, so much better. Jesus, your loving kindness. Your love is better, your grace is greater, your mercy's wider, your ways are higher. My heart will sing it, my heart will shout it, Jesus, your loving kindness. Your love is better, your grace is greater, your mercy's wider. Shout it, Jesus, your loving kindness. Jesus, your loving kindness is better than life. Oh, it's better. Oh, better than life. Oh, so much better. Your loving kindness, Jesus,
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here today. It is Memorial Day weekend, and I appreciate you all coming out and being part of this time together. If this is your first time here, welcome. You should find guest registration card in the pew rack right in front of you. We hope that you're in the room, you'll take that and fill it out. If you have prayer concerns, put them on that card and let us know. And then drop it in the offering plate, and we will try to be in touch with you to give you a personal welcome and to be in prayer for you if you would like to have us do that. If you're joining us via live stream, thank you for being here as well. You can go to the address that you will see on the screen and let us know that you have joined us. If you have prayer concerns, write them to us, and I promise you that we'll pray over them. But we're glad you're here, and we hope that you'll continue to join us and be part of this time of worship together. This is a special weekend for a lot of reasons, but one is it is a weekend when we remember those who have sacrificed their lives for our freedom in this nation. Let's watch this together and let's remember.
When I look back through history and consider all the sacrifices in every war, and I try to grasp it all, come to grips with it, stand in reverence of all those willing to give their lives for something bigger than themselves, I am stunned by the sheer numbers. All those lives, all those families, serving their country. I can't always comprehend it. My heart is not big enough to take it all in, that each one didn't come home. What they lost for their service, what we gained for their courage. Today, I stop to remember. Every single number is one soldier, one sailor who got up in the morning and put on a uniform, one Marine who answered the call to fight for freedom, one airman who knew the cost and went anyway, one man or woman who paid the ultimate price for many, and the freedom I live in now. Today, I remember.
Holy God, help us to remember those who have sacrificed for you and for us. There are so many. They're the ones that we remember on this Memorial Day weekend who sacrificed for our nation that we might be able to come to this room and worship in freedom. It's easy for us to forget about that on this weekend because for us, a Memorial Day weekend is a holiday and it's a time for us to gather with family and friends and to enjoy each other, and that's not what it's meant to be at all. It's meant to be a time when we remember those who can't gather with their families, who have not been able to have that next picnic, that next cookout, that next opportunity for gather as a complete family because someone has sacrificed to give us the opportunity to keep doing what we do. We thank you for their lives, Lord. We thank you for their dedication. We thank you for the way they loved their country. And we thank you for the love that we get to celebrate because of what they have done. Be with them, be with their families, be with us. Help us remember. And then be with us as we gather in this place, O Lord. Invoke your Spirit upon us that we might know you and that we might be able to celebrate what it means to be the family of faith together. Help us to be that family, O Lord. And help us to do the best that we know how to do to lift the best that we have to offer you to this very day. Remind us of why we're here and help us to celebrate it well. For it's in your name we offer our prayer. Amen. Memorial Day is usually when we remember those who have sacrificed their lives for our freedom. But today we have one sitting in our room that I want to recognize today. It's Sergeant Major George Bloom. I think is our last living veteran from World War II, and he is in his uniform from World War II. Yeah. Thank you. George fought in Europe and did a very good job for our country in that. I am envious. I'm not sure I could wear the same clothes I wore 77 days ago, much less 77 years ago. But George is able to do that, and we thank you for your service, George. Thank you for being here and letting us do this. Normally, we would have children's time with Pastor Todd, but he's a bit under the weather today and has to be away. Miss Tabby has something special for you that she wants to do in children's church upstairs. So, Tabby, if you'll stand up, and our children can follow Miss Tabby to go upstairs. We'll do our children's time. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, let's the rest of us stand and sing to our Lord.
Good morning. Hope you're ready to lift your voices and sing praises with us.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring Him praise. Come all into your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice,
Church of Christ,
rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice,
Church of Christ,
rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, by the riches of His grace. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice,
Church of Christ,
rejoice, 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 let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long.
Have you ever had something that you knew you had to do, but you knew you were going to fail? Started when I was in elementary school. You ever do the class pictures and you always know the smallest person is on the front row on the end? You can't tell it by looking at me now, but that was always me. And I can remember the physical stuff. I failed every time. The worst one was when I got a new bike and I had to ride it to school, and I forgot that you had to pick it up and put it on the bike rack. Everybody that was outside came and laughed at me, but I did it. Those were the least of the trials I have faced in my life, was putting a bike on a rack. But the difference now than when I was in the fourth grade was I know I don't have to face any of these things alone. Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power?" With God, we can do more than we could ever hope for, because we have the power of God in us. I am not ashamed. Let's sing together.
I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed.
Gospel.
Yes, I believe I have the power of God. I have the power of God. I have the power of God alive in me. It is the power of God. It is the power.
Today in our prayer time, I want us to take just a moment to think about the events that happened in Uvalde, Texas this week. More than most communities, we here in Blacksburg understand very well how the people in Uvalde are feeling on one level. We know what it's like to have such an attack happen, and we know the pain that can be felt when people lose their loved ones. We know the struggle that can be felt when we lose people that we care about. And we just know the kind of struggle that can come to a town when we have to deal with the aftermath of something like that. And so I particularly today want us to remember them in our prayers. I want us to take a few minutes in this worship service to have some silent prayer over them. And I want us to lift them up in the midst of this struggle. Their struggle is in some ways going to be worse than ours was, because they are now dealing with the aftermath of a crisis that was looking more and more like it was mishandled, and that probably a lot of children died that didn't have to die. And so there's an anger piece that's part of their story that we didn't have so much of in our story. And so I want us to remember them and remember them in their pain, and to try to lift them up as best we can during this time. Let's join together in a time of silent prayer, and then I'll lead us. Let's pray together. Holy God, I have no idea how those parents feel today, but I know how it feels to be at a building where such a thing has happened. I know how it feels to be part of bringing those people out of those buildings. I know how it feels to try to help a community recover from a tragedy such as that. This day, like the days that have just preceded it, is a hard day in Uvalde. There are people who have gathered there to worship you, and they are counting on you for strength and power in the midst of their wounds. We are assured, O God, that you will not let them down, that you will be there with them. You will be there with them in strength. You will bring comfort to their hearts as time goes forward. You will even help brokenhearted parents to put one foot in front of the other and to go forward from that, but their lives will not be the same after that day. And so we pray that you will help them in that time of struggle, that you will be with them in powerful ways, that you will help those of us who are your children to not forget them as the days go forward, but to lift them up in prayers. How many times are we going to have to deal with this kind of tragedy in our country, O Lord? Help us to be the ones who will stand up and demand that something be done. Help us to be the ones who will do more than just offer our thoughts and prayers. There is nothing wrong with thoughts. There is great power in prayer, but there is more that can be done. And we pray, O God, that we will be your servants in the midst of this war that is going on. There are too many that have felt this pain. There are too many who have been wounded. There are too many that have been hurt. There are too many lives that have been lost that could have counted for something powerful in this world that will not count in the same way now. We pray, oh God, that you will be with them and with us. That you will be with them in comfort and you will be with us in power. That we might be the ones who will go into the world that is and try to make it a better place. Help us to remember, oh God, that right here in our own community there is plenty of emptiness. There are plenty of people whose lives we can touch with your word and with your grace. There are plenty of individuals who need your help right here, and we are the ones who can step into their lives to make a difference. Help us to want to do that, Lord. Help us to care enough to do just exactly that. Help us to love you well, Lord, because we show our love for you by the way we live our lives. I pray that we will choose to live them well, and that we will try to be people of duty just as those service members have been people of duty who have gone ahead of us. Help us, O Lord, to be blessed by your presence, and help us to want to be a blessing to you by the way we try to bless the world that we live in. Come to us today, O Lord, as we bring our prayers to you. Remind us that it is in prayer that we communicate to you and that we listen for your communication to us. It is in prayer that we find the power to keep on living and to keep on going as you would have us go. Help us to find power in prayer, just as your disciples found the power of God in the prayer that you taught them to pray. Help us to do more today than just say this prayer. Help us to pray it with sincerity as we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and verse 16. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Today I want to start my sermon with six of the most important words that you're ever going to hear in church. Christianity is not a spectator sport. God has not invited us to watch the game on Sunday and then talk about it on Monday. God has commanded us to get into the game. This entire weekend is about people who have given their lives to more than just being a spectator sport in the game of freedom. They have given their lives so that we might have the opportunity to come here and join together. They have paid their all. God has commanded us to get in the game and be involved in the game. And I'm telling you, as the pastor of this church, if our church is going to reach its potential, if we are going to become a beacon to this community the way that our God wants us to, if we're going to return to our pre-COVID strength, it'll be through our members becoming ministers, through the crowd becoming witnesses, through people in the pew becoming the army of God and taking that as seriously as we do other threats to our future. Two men were out on a fishing trip. A whale hit their boat. Their boat sank. They were in a raft for 2 weeks. They had some provisions, but not enough. By the time they got to the end of the second week, everything was looking bad. And when they did, one of the guys started to get desperate. He said, "Lord, you know that I've lived a terrible life. I don't go to church. I've cheated on my wife. I've neglected my kids. I drink, I party, and I cavort all over town. But Lord, if you'll just save me, I promise." He got to that point and the other guy yelled out, "Don't do it, Jack. I think I see land." There's something to be said for deathbed confessions of faith. One of the most moving confessions of faith that I ever saw was a deathbed confession of faith. Man gave his life to God literally as he lay on his deathbed, and it was so inspiring that several members of his family chose to give their lives to God over the next several months. There's something to be said for coming to God in the midst of desperation. There's something to be said for a deathbed confession. But that's not the kind of faith that brings radical changes to a church. It's not the kind of faith that will communicate joy to the world around us. It's not the kind of faith that our God needs if we're going to be able to invest the way that God wants us to invest in the world that's around us. A few years ago, I cited a few statistics that were pretty disturbing. This past week, I did some new research, and what I've got to tell you is things haven't gotten better. They've actually gotten worse. There used to be this old adage in church, 20% of the people do 100% of the work. That's actually not true. In 2015, the Barna Research Organization discovered that about 11% of people did 100% of the work. And that, you got to understand the significance of that. In 2005, it actually was 20%. It was actually 21%. In 10 years, it had dropped 10%. About a month ago, another organization did a very similar kind of work. They were looking at post-COVID numbers, and according to the numbers they found, now about 6% of people do 100% of the work in the church. I'm glad to say that our church is much better than that. It's much stronger than that. We've got far more people who are volunteering to help with that, but it's not what it was before COVID hit. Before COVID, it took 103 volunteers every Sunday morning to do all that we did here on a Sunday morning in our three worship services. We don't have all of that we are doing now. We still have a lot of volunteers, and we have people who are helping us do the things that we need to do. We may not need quite as many as we did before COVID hit. But what I'm saying is, it's a lot harder for us to come by those now than it used to be. In 2015, about 50% of church members said that they were, quote, perfectly satisfied to just attend worship, which was a fancy way of saying that they were perfectly satisfied to just be church consumers. Church was their shopping mall, their spiritual shopping mall for their kids and for themselves. In fact, more than ever before, pastors today are citing that when they meet with someone about joining the church, or when people come to the church to go to a new members class, increasingly the first question that's asked of those people is, what do you have to offer our family? When Jesus called his first disciples, he said, come, follow me, and I will teach you to fish for people. He didn't say, come, follow me, and this is what I'll offer you if you'll come along. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to make a difference. The Christian faith isn't about what we can get. It's about what we can become. But that's harder today, because COVID did indeed change things. We spent 2.5 years watching church online, and some people are still watching church online, which is fine if they can find community in that and if you can find service in that. But going back to that 50% that said they were just perfectly fine attending church, between 35 and 40% of that group disappeared from any church during COVID. They didn't join online and they didn't come back to church. They just fell away. Now, I'm glad to say that our church members are better than, our numbers are better than that, but they're certainly not what they need to be, and they're certainly not what they used to be. And if we're going to be what I'm convinced that God wants us to be, we're going to have to join together to become God's army of grace in this town and in this world. And we can't wait 5 years to do that. We have to become the Great Commission right now. So the question is, are we willing to get off the bench and join this team? Ephesians 4:1, Paul said, I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. What is Paul trying to say to us in this scripture? Well, I think what Paul is trying to say is there are certain qualities that we have to have if we're going to be ministers instead of just members of a church. And the first one is we have to have commitment. It's the same kind of commitment that you saw from people like George Broom. It's the same kind of commitment that you see in various places every day of life. We have to commit our lives to something bigger than us. We have to commit our lives to God's calling. Just a few years ago, a friend of mine called me, and he was just as angry as he could be at his pastor. He said, I've got a problem. I want to tell you about it, and then I want you to be honest with me and tell me what you think. Folks, I don't care if it is the very best friend that you've ever had in the world. If they say, I want you to tell me honestly what you think, they don't want to know what you think. What they want is for you to tell them what they want to hear. Anyway, my friend called me. He had a neighbor that had been going through a major crisis, and one day that friend walked over to his house. He started asking my friend questions about God and about the church, and so my friend talked to him for a little while, and then when they got finished, he went in and he called his pastor and he asked his pastor if he would go see this guy. When he did, the pastor said, well, I could go see him, but I don't think that's going to do any good. This man doesn't know me, so he doesn't have any reason to trust me, but he does trust you. So why don't you keep talking to him? I'll be a resource to you. In a few weeks, you can get us together for coffee and we can sit and talk, and maybe he'll get to where he can trust me, and then we'll try to work with him together. My friend was just angry as he could be. He said, I couldn't believe that my pastor wouldn't go over there to see him. If I had called you, would you have gone? And I said, no, not under those circumstances, I wouldn't. He said, why not? I said, because you were trying to pack off on your pastor what you didn't want to do yourself. I said, God hadn't called your pastor to go see a man he didn't know. He called you to talk to him. This guy didn't want to talk to a pastor. He wants to talk to you. He lives next door to you. He's watched you. He believes in you. He knows that you are a Christian believer. He considers you a friend. He's asking you why you believe in Jesus and what difference does it make in your life. God's calling you to try to minister to this man, and you need to do what he's calling you to do. But doing it made you uncomfortable when he came to see you, and so you tried to get your pastor to do it for you, and he said no, and now you're mad about it, but this isn't your pastor's problem. This is your problem, and you need to man up and go talk to your neighbor. Now, I would tell you what this guy said to me when I said that, but we're in church. But it was something like, dang, I didn't expect you to say that. Actually, it was nothing like that, but let's just pretend it was and go on with it with that. I said, Steve, we've been friends for 45 years. You've known me well for 45 years. I said, if you thought that I was going to tell you what you wanted to hear, you're an idiot. I said, you knew darn well I wasn't going to do that. You just wanted me to do that so you would feel better about yourself and you could feel better about not doing what God had called you to do. Steve pouted for about 2 weeks after that, and then he went and he apologized to his pastor, and then he finally called and he apologized to me, and then he went to see his neighbor, and he talked to him about Jesus, and in a couple of weeks, he got him together with his pastor, and they all had coffee together, and both of them started talking to the guy. About a year later, the man was baptized into his church, and he began to turn his life around. I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Folks, that verse of Scripture is not just for preachers. Everybody who believes in Jesus is called to the ministry. Baptism is a call to the ministry. And take my word for this. If you're a believer, God is going to call you. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen and what it's going to be calling you to do. And when that happens, we're going to have to decide. Are we going to live up to our calling, or are we going to try to pass the buck to somebody else? Are we going to live a life worthy of the calling that we've been given, or are we just going to try to shirk it and hand it off to somebody else? And frankly, the answer to that is, sooner or later, we're going to shirk it and try to hand it off to somebody else, because we're human beings, and that's the kind of thing that we do. We may not try to pack it off on the pastor, but we'll make excuses for not doing it, and we'll look for reasons not to serve, and we'll look for reasons to not go do what God would have us do because we're uncomfortable, or it doesn't feel right at the time, or whatever our reason happens to be at that moment. There are only so many hours in the day, and most of us have to decide what we're going to do with our hours of the day, and so we choose our priorities, and whether we want to admit it or not, God isn't the top priority for most of us in life. It's easy for us to pass the buck, and all of us are going to do that sooner or later, but that doesn't change the fact that we need to join the team. That doesn't change the fact that the first qualification for serving God is being willing to serve God. If we're going to honor God, we have to decide if we're going to make serving Him a priority. We have to decide if we're going to be part of that team. And once we do, there are some guidelines that we need to embody if we're going to be worthy ministers of God's church. And two of those guidelines are humility and gentleness. Paul said, always be humble and gentle. Humility isn't just being quiet and reserved and being in the background. Humility is knowing ourselves the way God knows us and then trying to become what God would have us be. Humility means to make Jesus our standard for living and to be gentle in how we deal with life, to be gentle in how we deal with our differences. It means to be patient and loving toward others. Paul said, be patient with one another, for making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Christian patience is the ability to put our emotions and our feelings in neutral and to act in Christian love toward other people. And Christian love is indeed a unique love. It doesn't have a thing in the world to do with how we feel. It's 100% about how we act in life. Acting in love is so unique. It was so unique to the early church that they actually invented a name for it. It was called agape. And agape means being determined to do the right thing for God and God's people, even when it's hard for us to do it. This past week, our country experienced another mass shooting in a school in Texas. I don't know how many children are going to have to die before Congress decides to actually try to do something to try to stop this kind of mess. Our country is the only country in the world that has an epidemic of this kind of thing. We need to address this. But one of the worst of those kinds of shootings happened in an Amish school in Pennsylvania in 2006. Killer went into that school and he killed a group of Amish schoolgirls. It was a terrible event. But what grabbed the entire country's attention in all of that was how the Amish people responded after those shootings. Those Amish church people, including the parents of the dead children, they went to the widow of the man who had killed their children and they told her that they didn't hold any grudge against her or her family. The Amish women cooked food for that woman and they took it to that woman's home. They raised money to help pay for the funeral and they went to that man's funeral to support that woman and her children. Folks, that's agape love. The Amish didn't do that because it felt good. In fact, they didn't initially agree on whether they should do that or not, but they all did it because they became convinced that's what Jesus would do. And so they followed Jesus. That's agape love, is to step out and do for the world, to do for our church, to do for our neighborhood, to do for others, just because we know that's what God would do. True servant Christians don't base their commitment on how they feel. They base it on agape love. What would Jesus want me to do? And when we do that, it creates unity and peace and growth. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and through all. Our job is to create unity and peace and growth, both spiritual growth in one another and numerical growth for our churches and for the world, to bring the world together as disciples for Jesus. It's our job to try to lead people to that faith and to bring them together in a unity of purpose and to try to find peace through a common spirit. Our church should not ever struggle to find musicians and singers. We shouldn't ever struggle to find teachers and children's workers. We shouldn't struggle to find youth workers. We shouldn't struggle to find mentors for young mothers. We shouldn't struggle to find deacons and greeters and elders and all of the people who do the nuts and bolts of being the church. We have every kind of gift that you can imagine in this church, and if we'll bring those gifts together, we can become one in the Spirit of God. There's not anything that we can't accomplish by coming together in unity and strength, provided that we remember that Christianity is not a spectator sport, it's a participation game. And we need to take our unique stories, our unique abilities, our unique gifts, our unique experiences, and put those to work for the glory of God and for the betterment of our world, not just somewhere, sometime, but in this church, this year, right now, because we can make a huge difference if we will try. I've told you before that my first two pastoral emergencies in the ministry were both suicides. One of those suicides was a man who lost his job in his 50s, and he was having a hard time finding another job, and his wife was having to work to pay the bills, and for some reason he just gave up, and so he went home and he took his own life. About a year later, a wife came home from her work one afternoon, and she took out a piece of paper and she wrote a note that said, "I'm sorry, I just can't do it anymore," and she ended her life. I went to that family's home. I tried to minister to them as best I could. As I started to leave, I looked up and the widow of the first suicide came driving into the driveway. So I went down and I met her. I said, "Sally, are you related to these people?" And she said, "Not by blood, just by experience." She said, "I'm the only person in this community who knows exactly how her husband is feeling right now." So I decided to come and let him know that he can make it through this. And he doesn't have to do it alone. That God will help him, and so will we. Paul said, "God makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps all the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." God wants us to become his gift of unconditional love to our town, to our community, to our church, and to our world. And we can make a difference if we'll let God come into our hearts and fill us with his strength and his power, and if we'll let him work through us for the good of the world around us. Let's pray together. Lord, it is so easy for us to become focused on ourselves. It is so easy for us to become focused on what we want and what we think we need, and to lose sight of the fact that you have a calling for us, you have things for us to do, you have things you want us to invest in, you have people you want us to be part of their lives. You have situations where you want us to step into the hurt that is already there and work to try to make it better. God, we tend to not do any of that unless you are guiding our lives, unless you are the center of our existence. Help us, O Lord, to be grateful for the times that you have been there for us, to be grateful for the times that our church has been there for us, to be grateful for the times that other people have been there for us and have shown us the way. Help us to want you to be the center of our lives so that we can step beyond our feelings and become the kind of love that actually reaches out and puts an arm around someone that we may not even care for and try to make a difference in their lives too. Come, Lord Jesus, and live within us and empower us to be your fire in this world, for it is through your fire, your strength, your power, your grace that we find the meaning of life. Hear our prayer, for it's in your name we offer it. Amen.
When the heart is under fire, another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire. for dead beneath the water. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world.
Should I ever need
If you've come to a place where you want to give your life to Jesus Christ in faith and you're not really sure how, you can come and we'll help you with that. If you've chosen to do that and you want to be baptized into the faith, then if you'll come forward, we'll plan on that with you. If you want to join our church and be part of our mission, we'd like to have you. If you'll come at the close of the service, we'll help you with that as well. As we go through those doors and we go out into the world, we're going to be going into a world that is an uncertain place and sometimes a difficult place. Let's try to take the best we have to offer into this world, and let's try to make the change that we can make through the power of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone.